Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I think my bio reads, the Olympics doesn't pay, so please donate.
Yeah, it's everybody is always shocked to hear how little we're paid. Is it the same? I don't remember if we talked about this. Do you guys also get a $300 stipend every month?
I think the worst stipend I ever got was $700 for the whole season, which was 6 months.
Oh, yeah. That we talked about.
Yeah, that made ESPN headlines and people were pissed.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like it's gotten that much better. I mean, yes, granted, $300 is, they just might as well light it on fire.
It hasn't gotten better. It gets better if you win. Like if you win a medal, they'll give you money, but they're just forgetting that the funding should be on the first part of that, not if you get a medal, because
yeah, but you're even investing. So with the medal, it's, you get what, 25,000, 15,000 or 10,000 for four years.
Yeah. True. That's a fair point. I guess because I don't have a medal. Thanks for talking about that. I wouldn't know that.
But to be fair though, with track and field, I mean, you guys have the opportunity to make more money off of medals, or like Michael Phelps, what did he win? 12 medals in one Olympic?
I don't know. He's a millionaire.
Yeah, no kidding.
He realized that you only get $25,000 per medal. And he's like, okay, I have to win a ton of medals to actually make money here. So right,
to make
that's
it
what he did.
My time.
Yeah. I don't know. He has some kind of special coming out. So where they talk about he's the greatest Olympian ever. So when my special comes out of the worst Olympian ever, I'll let you guys know.
You're not the worst Olympian. Shut up.
This is On the Fence with Monica Oksanen.
Lolo Jones is an American hurdler and bobsledder who specializes in the 60-meter and 100-meter hurdles. She has won 3 NCAA titles and garnered 11 All-American honors while at Louisiana State University. In bobsled, she won the 2021 IBSF World Championships as the breakwoman for Kaylee Humphreys. Mm-hmm. She's a 3-time Olympian in both Summer and Winter Olympics. Outside of the Olympics, Jones has appeared on many reality TV shows such as Dancing with the Stars, Celebrity Big Brother, and The Challenge. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
It's been actually super busy. It's the off season, but I've been really busy because this is my last year. This is my last year as an athlete pursuing the Olympic Games. So it's like, whoa. So I'm trying to like prepare for afterlife and also train for the Olympics, and it's hard. So it's like working 4 jobs.
Yeah, people don't seem to realize that. They're like, oh, you're like, all your job is just to be an athlete. No, we got to pay the bills, as we were talking about,
yeah,
of how we get very little money. And the only time that sponsors really do care is Olympic year. So it's a struggle.
Yeah. Have you broken yet and created an OnlyFans account?
I did have one briefly over quarantine, but I only posted bikini photos. I thought about it and I just don't, my ass does not need to be out on the internet.
So you gave up on that? Was it like, as everything they say, like, do you really bring in the money?
You really could, even for, I mean, there's people, what inspired me is like, there's some girl on TikTok. She's like, I literally don't post any nudes. I just post vlogs and people pay me money to watch them. I was like, let me see about this. And I just literally posted bikini photos that are also on my Instagram or from like shoots like from long ago that I've never posted. And I brought in a little under 2,000 in, I don't know, like 6 months. And it's not like I was even posting every single day or even every single week, but, or like really even promoting it. So
wow.
I mean, yeah, you can make money on it.
Wow. That's crazy. No, they don't need to see me. I don't have a big butt. I mean, I have a big butt in bobsled, but yeah, no. I don't need to see it.
Yeah, I feel that. Like I said, I quit pretty quickly. So I made my 2K and I left. So anyways, I always start off talking about how I met each of my guests. And I don't know how I came off to you, but I was fangirling pretty hard when I met you.
Wow. Why?
What do you mean, why? Shut up. You're a legend. Why? You're a legend. Obviously, you're pretty damn accomplished, as I had to list off, in the sports world. And I remember you, Team USA, I think I told you this. They played a video at our, what is that thing called?
The processing or something.
Yeah. The processing day. They played like this video of like, you know, like how you should be holding the flag, how you should conduct yourself. And they played the video from, I think it was the 2008 Olympics.
Where I lost.
Yeah. Where you.
Olympic gold.
Yeah. That whole
hurdle. And they let me guess this. They showed you how to do an interview if you lose in front of millions.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah. But I'm like, okay, I mean, as an athlete, I know how difficult that is. And I mean,
yeah, no, it was a great interview. It launched me for sure. It launched my career. And I'm actually makes it means a lot that other athletes saw that and encouraged, because it was one of the hardest nights of my life. So it was really cool that other athletes, and you're not the only one that said that. So I really do appreciate that. But yeah, it's tough to, yeah, I mean, you've been on both sides of that coin where you've won a medal and then you've also lost medals. So you know how painful that is. So I really appreciate that. Yeah, but fangirling, come on, don't make me use my soundbite again.
I was. Anyways.
I'm just going to keep using that. Stop it. Get some help.
It was the Samsung charity event, which was hands down one of the wildest nights of my life, which I'll get more into. But you came up when I was talking to my teammate, Miles. I think that's how it was going. And like I said, I feel like I was pretty embarrassing. So I'm pretty happy that we're still friends, even though
I don't even remember. Wait, it was a party. Was that the Olympics?
No, it was the Samsung charity event in New York.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't remember. I have a bad memory.
You're like, yeah, so many red carpet events.
Not that. I have a bad memory. I only remember the bad things.
Yeah.
Like that ex there, the ex, I remember the person that burned me, scorned for life, but the good things, you know.
Anyways, I really wanted to have you on. And as we talked about it, this entire topic, I can't think of anybody that fits better into this whole conversation of being an Olympic hopeful in 2020. When the pandemic hit, I mean, it was obviously very difficult for every single person. But as Olympic hopefuls, we were dealing with something additional on top of that. And we talked about on the phone of how initially everybody was telling us the Olympics were going to happen and athletes were killing themselves and going through any different situation in order to be able to be prepared for the actual Olympics if they would happen. How did that look for you?
Well, originally when it was just this whole hula hoop game, because at first they weren't really postponing the Olympics. At first they were just dragging us out. So we were all trying to train for the Olympics in our house, which was dumb. Like you can't train for the Olympics in quarantine. No, like I was just imagining people getting out of quarantine and then going to the Olympics and just pulling their hamstrings, pulling their bicep right off. Like it was becoming really dangerous because you forget that there is an element of danger in all of our sports, whether it's fencing, gymnastics, hurdles, we're running full speed or jumping full speed. So if we don't practice and then go into these environments, that's really how you get injured. Seriously, like there's going to be a lot of ACL tears and bones poking out if they had not postponed the games. Not to mention the fact that we were all probably contaminated in our coaches by trying to continue to work out in facilities and gyms, you know, to make sure that our competitors weren't having an advantage over us. So that was a huge concern. Finally, they postponed it. So then we're like, okay, cool. Yay, they postponed it. And then reality set in, you're like, wait, how long are they postponing it for? So then you're still trying to train because they didn't tell us how long. We're like, are they postponing it for a few weeks? Are they postponing it for a few months, a year? Like they didn't tell us. So we sat on ice for like another month. And then they were like, okay, we're postponing it for a year. And once they said a year, then I think all the athletes let their guard down and were like, you know, ordering pizzas and double bacon cheeseburgers and candy. So then that's when you really saw like Thor and Endgame come out on all of us. But the reality is some of us were still hoping on a season and that's how we make our money. So even though the Olympics were postponed, our seasons weren't canceled. And so a lot of us held on hope. We were doing things in our house like, you know, well, first things first, everybody try to order stuff. Like you try to at least order the bare minimums in your house that you didn't have, whether it was a few dumbbells, a weight session, something you could fit in, a bike, whatever you try to order. But the problem is everybody in the United States was trying to order those same things in quarantine. So Amazon, Walmart, everybody sold out very quickly of workout stuff. So I think I got like a few pairs of dumbbells not matching. And then I use like bleach jugs and water jugs for like dumbbells. What else did I do? I'm fortunate as a runner. I can really just run. Not really, because I'm a sprinter. I'm not a distance runner. So distance runners had it the best. They could just run in parks and nothing changed for them. But sprinters, I mean, I need hurdles and I do need a track. There was a track around the corner that was open certain times, you know. And then what else did I do that was weird? I was able to get some weights finally. And then, yeah, I don't know. This is a bad story because I actually have a pool. So I did a lot of pool workouts. So I'm not like, this is a terrible story. It's like you're ready for Olympians to be like, I was like curling over my couch. I was just like swimming and I had a pool track right around the corner. I think the hardest thing was the fact that I realized the caliber of our facilities during COVID. So I train at LSU, which is the LSU University, which has facilities that are basically on par with the Olympic Games. We have a Mondo track. We have two tracks, an indoor track, an outdoor track, four different weight rooms. We have physios that can work on us before and after practice. So like that's the setup I would have at the Olympic Games. So even though I still had a track around the corner and a pool, I had no one to work on me. And And also the high school track is a high school track. So it's a lower level kind of track. So 1 week on that track and I almost blew my Achilles out because it's more concrete than Mondo. So it's just like you're, as an elite athlete, you're used to elite conditions. And it basically felt like it'd be like LeBron James, you know, having his NBA environment and then saying, okay, now go train at this basketball court with the concrete surface. Like that's basically what I did. I'm making it sound like it was nice, but I essentially was running on a track that had a concrete base, which was really quite tough on my body. But I just gave up after a certain point. I just said, there's not going to be a season. And so I gave up and just watched Netflix and TV and binge like everybody else and was eating junk food. And so I started working on other things, like other hobbies, like streaming, and got Animal Crossing, was playing Animal Crossing, got a dog, got a quarantine dog. So I did what everybody else in America. I had a meltdown. So yeah,
varying degrees of meltdowns all throughout America.
Yeah. I had a meltdown. So
yeah, we all did.
I was never more lonely than in quarantine. I would be waking up. I'd wake up every day and just figure out who could I call, because I was so like I had no human interaction. So I would just who can I call today? So
yeah, I spent so much time on the phone with everybody.
Yeah,
like I literally like I would call my friend and we would talk for like an hour and I was like, I have nothing left to talk about. And she's like, yeah, me neither. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess we're done. I'll call you next week.
The weirdest thing I probably did in quarantine is every day I would wake up and I'd put makeup on.
Why?
Well, I know everybody's like, oh, no one's gonna see you, blah blah blah. Wrong. I had so many FaceTime calls. FaceTime calls. And I really didn't do it for the FaceTime calls. Everything in my life routine-wise was removed. And I'm one of the most disciplined athletes in the world. I wake up at a certain time. I eat at a certain time. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Very programmed. I stretch at night. Like everything's by the second, you know? And so when I had no routine, great, cool. That was fun for like a week or two. But then I was kind of felt I was slipping off the edge. And so I needed something to just give me a routine to get me out of bed, because what if you have no routine, you have nothing, what's your motivation to get out of bed? So I honestly would wake up and I would put makeup on. It wasn't like a full face, it was, you know, pretty basic, like foundation, some mascara, take about 5 minutes, but it was enough to get me out of bed. Like, okay, the day is starting. I mean, I'm not, at that time I wasn't really a big coffee drinker, so most people would go just brew their coffee and the day is starting. Well, me, I was like, all right, let me do my makeup and then I'll do some calls. And that was my routine. I made a routine when I had no routine to get me through it. So
yeah, I think that was like one of the hardest parts for me, of going 6 days a week of training, of 2 a days, to not having anything to do but sit on my couch. I mean, how much Netflix can you watch? Same thing like you, like for a week it was fun. I was like, oh my God, I can do anything. I can be drinking wine whenever, like that's not a problem. But it got to a point of I literally would leave my bed only to walk my dog, and then I would come back into bed, and I was just getting more and more depressed every single day. So I ended up, I'm lucky where I live an hour away from my mom's house. I went and I stayed there. So at least something of some routine of having to do to certain things. But that was one of the hardest things for me personally.
Yeah.
We were talking about the whole pandemic. So you stopped training for track, right? And then you started training for bobsled and went back to track?
No. So track, once I realized the Summer Olympics were postponed a year, and I mean, I'm at the end of my career, to hold on another year for track, where it's really a younger person sport, I knew was going to be quite difficult, because, you know, we age in dog years at the end of our career. So, yeah. I mean, 1 year is like 7 years for us. So I was like, man, like, will I still have that? I mean, that was it. Like, I already felt like I was holding on for dear life. So, I figured it'd just be really hard to do track. You know, I mean, it's still possible, but I just felt like the odds were stacked against me adding another year. And then, so I pretty much didn't know if I was retired or not. I think I remember talking to you and I was like, I mean, we both had the same conversation. We're like, we could be potentially retired and we don't even know it yet.
Yeah.
And we're still like working out. We're still holding on hope. But like, I really faced reality, like where I could be retired and I just don't even know it yet. So it wasn't until things started progressing and like the track season was pretty much over, and one of the bobsled athletes, Kaylee Humphreys, she had messaged me and she wanted me to come back to bobsled, and they were progressing. So winter sports are actually quite ahead of summer sports because most of their sports are outside. So, you know, I know you think of track and like, oh, well, it's an outdoor thing, but it's a huge environment to have a track meet. You have 200 athletes from all over in different disciplines, Well, bobsled is quite smaller. I mean, I think the total athletes for like a bobsled competition would probably be like, you could have it under 50 people if you wanted it to. So, and you can separate it by gender, you know, and in track at track and field meets, it's guys and girls. Mm-hmm. So you could have 200 guys, 200 girls, like it can be a massive kind of thing. Right. So it's harder to have COVID under wraps, even though it's outdoors for a track meet, as opposed to bobsled where you're already wearing, you know, you're already wearing helmets, you're already wearing face coverings because it's freezing. So it was just an easier sport to transition back into. They were progressing faster. They were having competitions. They were able to figure out the COVID protocols quite easy. So yeah, I just focused my attention on bobsled because I didn't know if the summer games was going to happen, to be honest. So
that's pretty smart. And then you went to the OTC for bobsled in quarantine, and we had the play-by-play on Instagram
where I almost didn't make the team.
Crazy, but you did it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I was the last one to make the team, and I threw a fit. I like told the coach, I was just like, I had one of those like Jerry Maguire moments where he was like, you know, he's getting mad at Jerry, like, show me the money. I was just like basically telling the coach, like, you don't think you announced my name last? I'm the last person to make this team. Oh,
that's funny.
You're wrong. So
hey, you did it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I was one of the last people, but the reason why I was one of the last people to make the team is because I was doing this stupid reality show, The Challenge. So I didn't train when I was, so when COVID hit, you know, I did what everybody else did. I quarantined, and then I was losing my mind because I wasn't competing. There were no track competitions. So, I told my agent, I was like, I just want to compete. Like my career might be over. I just want to compete in something. And so The Challenge had on me years ago. So I was like, let me just see if, you know, if they're even filming. And of course they were. So that was an opportunity. Went on there. And as soon as I was done with the show, bobsled had already started. So the overlap was like literally by 2 days. So when I went out to bobsled, I was not in bobsled shape. I was competing on a reality TV show. So I was like eating trash food. I was, you know, it's a reality TV show. Like they give you alcohol, so you fight, and right, you're not training at all. It's a reality TV show. Like, so, when I went back to bobsled, I'm going against girls who have literally been in COVID quarantine and just been training like prisoners. So they just were revved up in shape and ready to go. And, yeah, they definitely let me know, that they were in shape. And so I had to dig myself out of the hole the rest of the season.
Listen, you made it, you qualified. But before we move on from the challenge, so as I was preparing for this episode, I was reading all the articles.
Yeah, the challenge sucks dick. Sorry, you're gonna have to bleep that out. Challenge fucking sucks.
Yeah, so there's articles about talking about why you left, and there are people arguing saying that you quit and you left. But then I saw you did an interview where you were saying that you were forced to leave.
I was forced to leave. That's hands down facts. I was forced to leave. I know that bums out some of the Challenge fans because they can't believe their beloved show is actually maybe not accurate.
But that's all reality TV shows.
Thank you, reality. So I'll just say this. The same people, if I was in court trying to win over my case, this is what I'd say. The same people that create the Challenge are the same people that create the Kardashian show.
Are you serious?
I rest my case. What do you believe? Bill and Murray, the producers of the Kardashians, also produce the Challenge. So you tell me, who's fucking lying?
Oh my God.
Me or is it someone who created the biggest, fakest reality show of all time in the history of all time?
Wow. That's crazy.
So
I mean, I was on a show, I wouldn't really even call it reality, but it was like a Nickelodeon show. And we had to and I'm supposed to be myself, and we had to reshoot scenes to say things and like intro to different situations and like change how I was talking so people would understand. So I know from my experience that reality TV is not, it's not reality.
It's not that. It's just like, don't peg yourself as a competition show, like a legit competition show, and you don't have rules. Like, don't, right. Like, I'm coming from the Olympics. So you tell me, if you tell me there's rules to a game and you tell me, this is the parameters. If you go outside of the parameters, you're disqualified. I'm going to believe I'm disqualified. Then right. You have someone go in you know, out of those parameters, and you're still like, oh, let it slide, let him win, you know, like, it's, that's, to me, I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, if, yeah. is this a competition show or what, you know? So depending on like storylines, who they want, like, I'll just say this. So Big Brother's filmed in the US. So Big Brother, I was on Celebrity Big Brother, and they have games on there, and it's a mental game. It's a mental strategy. And then you also have physical games. Some of the physical games are hard. Some of them are silly, but I have to applaud Big Brother. They follow those rules. And I think it's because they're filmed in the United States. And in the United States, whenever you're playing for money, you have to make sure that the games are fair. Like, but the challenge is filmed outside of the United States. Oh. There you go. Bing, bing, bing. So that's why, I mean, I don't know. I'm not like, am I saying the whole thing is fake? No. I mean, there's elements to it that are very, very real, you know, like Big T, she was on there and she's deathly afraid of heights. And I mean, they didn't Photoshop us hanging from cliffs. Right. Like, we were hanging from cliffs. So, but can they squeak or change or do what they want? For sure. You know, like, and I guess I just went on there thinking that it was going to be like Big Brother. Like, you can't edit in Big Brother. It's 24/7 filmed with how Big Brother is. So they have the like edited version of their show, and then they have, you can log on and watch 24/7 live. So even if they edit it, there's fans out there that watch 24/7 of you and can just go back and fact check or you know. So I don't know. Like, I think after going on it, I respect my experience with Big Brother more. And like, after I left Big Brother, I kind of was in shell shock because I didn't see the sun for 37 days. And it was just, I remember talking to Natalie, the wrestler, and we both like, kind of had these weird dreams leaving. Like, we wake up in kind of shock after we left the house. Like, we'd wake up almost in like nightmares because we had been so many days in the house.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah. So, but like, after having time to process it, you know, I was just like, wow, that was such a gnarly experience. Like, being in the house, not seeing the sun with complete strangers. And like, that's essentially what the challenge is, but then you go compete on these, you know, things. So I thought it'd be a very similar setup, but I guess I just, I think the setup was better for Big Brother, like how they follow certain guidelines and how they actually care for the contestants, like check in on them and stuff like that. So like, nice. You don't see a human, you just have on Big Brother, you never see a human from the outside world the whole time you're filming. You only see like they have walls, and then you'll go into a room for your interview room, and it'd be like, I'm talking to you, but I never see your face. So I'd only see your voice and then do the interviews. So the only faces you see are the faces of the people in the house with you. Like, the cameras are all kind of hidden. You know, the only cameras you see are the moving ones that are on the top, but yeah. So, yeah. And I can't really speak about Dancing with the Stars because I was out the first episode. Two left feet.
I didn't even know that. That's so
yeah, funny. I can run, but I can't dance. So sadly.
We all have our specialties.
Yeah, that's why I just never get hit on in the club. So,
and that's why you don't have 70 million followers on TikTok, because you're not doing TikTok dances.
No, but I mean, I was on Dancing with the Stars longer than that. I mean, even though I was out the first episode, we all trained for 3 weeks before the first episode. So I got a kind of a vibe for it. So yeah. I'd say Dancing with the Stars is like gymnastics. You know, you get scored. So, you know how in figure skating they get scored? Mm-hmm. I don't like sports that you get scored like that. That's a tough one, you know, right?
Everything has to be perfect.
Yeah, you know, everything has to be perfect, or your personality has to be like, you can be judged on the way you smile.
Right.
After you compete. Like, if you don't smile correctly, you give off like bad vibes. So, yeah.
It's not for me. I don't like that either.
Yeah.
All right. And then after that, you guys won gold at the World Championships with your partner, Kaylee Humphries, and all of your struggles of 2020, you know, you were still able to overcome that. So me as an athlete, I truly admire and respect that. Huge props. But I saw a bunch of your stories of that whole experience of going through all the different countries in Europe. And there was one story where you ladies were stuck for multiple hours at a border. What was that about?
Yeah, so I don't actually know. So we always we do these same routes every year for bobsled. We drive our actual bobsleds. A lot of people don't know this. We have these like cargo vans, and we stick our bobsled in there with all of our equipment and tools. So the van is just packed. But we go the same route. We usually go from like Germany to Switzerland, and you know, they usually know we're coming because it's bobsled, you know, like there's usually banners up like, oh, we're going to St. Moritz for a bobsled. You can see the banners up for a bobsled competition. So we're at the border trying to enter into Switzerland, and, the guy just was not having it. The custom guy was not having it at the border. We had all our documentations. We had our COVID free papers. We had just a stack of just papers of why we're in this country, what we have. But he wanted a carnet, which is a list of everything we've packed in this van, like down to your toothbrush. And I was like, bro, we ain't got that. Okay. So he was not letting us through this border. So me and Kaylee just sat there for hours, like hours, probably like 4 hours. And it was so bad at one point, like, I was like, does this guy think we have cocaine or something in our bobsleds? Because I opened the back, and he's like, you can open any bag. You could see the bobsled. Like literally the bobsled was just like there, like
right
in the back of the truck. And then there was bags and tools. And I was like, you can open anything you want. We have nothing to hide. He just looked at it, still wouldn't open the bags, and then just go in his office. So Kaylee just thinks that they did it just to mess with her, just because she's a 3-time Olympic medalist, you know, and she ended up winning and beating the Swiss people. So maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we were sitting there forever, but it was funny because I was making jokes on my Instagram stories, and I was like, see, I said, see, Kaylee, I knew I shouldn't have packed the cocaine like that. And she's like, stop playing. They're going to keep us here longer. And like, they didn't keep us there longer, but it made headlines. Lolo Jones, cocaine bobsled. Like, it made Swiss headlines. Like, it's like, oh, can someone please play the Narcos music? Because this is awesome.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't believe that made headlines.
Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, I was like, wow, this is like definitely adding on to my bio. Lolo Jones, cocaine. And it was in their language, so it was like cocaina or something. I was just like, wow, that sounds even more gnarly.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Yeah, it's times like that where you realize you really have to be careful of what you're saying. There's people following us from all over the world, and
I still haven't learned. I'm gonna say what I want and when I want to say it. Always.
I do the same, and I get in trouble for it, or it hits headlines. Like, I was saying the Olympics were gonna get canceled in Poland, or no, they saw that I got stuck in Poland, and then it went into newspapers. Everyone's like, well, do you think the Olympics are gonna happen? And I was like, no, I can't even get back into my own country. How are they gonna have the Olympics?
They still might not happen, you know, who knows.
I think it's so stupid to have them after what the stuff that I've been through. Like, my entire club had COVID. First of all, we were given our first Olympic qualifying World Cup event. We were given 5.5 weeks notice, which we were told we were supposed to get 8 weeks notice, and we're going to have 3 of them, and one was going to be like a fake one for us to be able to compete again. Other countries in Europe have had 5 national competitions. Our first national competition is happening this weekend.
Oh yeah, good luck, because we did the same thing for bobsled. So the Germans started competing in September and had competitions all the way until January when we came over. And then January 2021 was our first competition, and we got our asses whooped.
Same thing happened to me.
Whooped. Yeah. Got, because they're so race sharp. They're like, they've been having these competitions, so they're sharp, 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 sharp. And we came over there, and we're like jet lagged, tired, COVID fatigue. Like, it was a nightmare. And we kept getting our asses whooped until the end of the season, where Kaylee and I finally pulled off a world championship win. But she was frustrated. We both were. We at one point in the season, we're like, what are we doing over here? Like, why are we here? There is a global pandemic. Like, what are we doing? And then we realized we actually have to qualify the bobsleds for the 2022 Olympic Games, or you actually can't compete. So, because it's a dangerous sport, you know, people crash and a few people have been really
hurt. That's crazy. You guys have to qualify so early.
Yeah, you have to, all the drivers have to qualify a year before, at least qualify the spots. So Team USA has two bobsleds qualified. We have to now work on our third to get qualified. So
got it. And then you guys have to qualify individually or no?
Okay, yeah. So the drivers are already qualified. And so now the brakemen will have to qualify. So now I have to qualify.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, definitely much different. Yeah. So at our first World Cup, got my ass handed to me. I competed better at my first senior World Cup than I did on this one.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. And it's not like I did poorly. There was just something missing. And it makes sense. Obviously, like, people have been competing. I haven't competed in a year. I haven't been able to properly train. So, and then, I mean, all the COVID scares and whatever, like, Dagmara couldn't go to that World Cup because she got COVID at the wrong time. And if I'm like COVID positive right now, I can't compete this weekend. So it's such a mess. And like, from mental health standpoint, I mean, I've just been like super up and down, and we started training, my coach got COVID, three of my training partners got COVID. I couldn't train for a week and a half of that 5.5 weeks. Then I came back to practice, another kid tested positive. So I, again, was COVID exposed. It was a mess.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think the only reason it's happening is because they want to make their millions. Otherwise it wouldn't
money.
Happen. Like, right. I mean, we're in a pandemic. People are dying, but meanwhile, we want to give athletes the vaccine first. That's our priority.
Well, no, what athletes got it first? Cause I didn't get it first.
But they wanted to. That was an argument.
Oh, countries. They couldn't. Well, they couldn't because that was severe backlash. So they stopped with that. So
yeah, which I think it's crazy. That was even a conversation. Like, people are to me, they're like, did you get vaccinated? I'm like, my mom hasn't gotten vaccinated and she's twice my age. So I don't need to be getting vaccinated until my mom's vaccinated. Like, that's what I'm working on. So yeah, I mean,
I thought in New York that they had everybody vaccinated, or not everybody vaccinated, but it's pretty open to get a vaccine right now, right?
Yes, you can, now that Walgreens started. But my mom lives in New Jersey, so it's much harder over there.
Oh, got you.
There so you I go. Could get it before my mom can, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And she can't even come to New York because she's not a New York resident.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I feel like we're living in like war times without the war.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, oh my gosh, these sheer stockings on Amazon are sold out.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything's also happening through TikTok as well. Everything's sold out because TikTok.
It's like we're gonna be complaining about this, and like, people who have actually been in war times are like, what, seriously?
Yeah, we had a chance of getting shot in the foot or like our foot blown off.
Yeah, I don't know. But I still, when my Amazon packages were running out because of this, those were hard times.
Those were very hard times. The mail was delayed. You didn't know when anything was going to come. It was a struggle. But that was like the highlight of your package coming. And I would just refresh all the time of, is it here? Is it here? Opening a package was the highlight of my week.
Well, they say the people with shopping addictions, it's like the addiction is because they're trying to regain some kind of control back in their life. So by like buying something, it's like, it's a way to reestablish control. So it makes sense why everybody was ordering more during COVID, you know, like everything's being ripped away, and schedules and jobs, and they just wanted a sense of control again. So, but yeah.
That's an interesting factor.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. So cool. Okay. Well, do you want to mention any projects coming up?
Oh yeah, I have my book coming out. I guess we'll talk about that. Yeah. My book comes out. The pre-orders are already out. So everybody who pre-orders will get something super special. We're working on that. And then just to encourage people, and it drops July 20th. And I'm really excited because it talks about a lot of things that I had to go to therapy for.
I'm glad you went to therapy, because there's a lot of people in the world that won't go to therapy.
I barely went to therapy. I just kept burning through therapists. They couldn't handle my heat. They couldn't handle my fire and my passions. They didn't understand me. So yeah.
Like, decline, can't work with her anymore.
Nope. It's an interesting book to talk about. You know, obviously it's basically, the book is for anybody who has been really close to a life goal or whatever it is, a promotion, feeling like they're really close to getting married, feeling like they're really close to just something, and then it's ripped away. over and over and over again, because that's been basically the story of my life. And it talks about how I grew up homeless and in and out of poverty, my dad in and out of jail. And then, you know, making Olympic teams, but still, you know, not winning in the medal. So just processing that and how I use failures as motivation. So if anybody's looking for motivation, the book is definitely packed with it.
I think we can all use a little bit of motivation, and somebody that, you know, even though you've been going through all those things and not quite getting to where you want to be, you're still having success, maybe not to the level that you want, but I mean, I find you successful.
Oh, thank you. Oh, appreciate it.
No, really, you don't sound like you believe me.
Can I go cry in the corner now? You're like, I find you successful. I find you should play like the music in the background. And then like, as soon as this podcast ends, you go like polish your Olympic medal.
No. I don't think so. I had a little bit of luck, which I used to not believe in, but.
Puts it around your neck and like. No, it's all good. I really do appreciate your words. It means a lot for me. I know most fellow Olympians, I've never been teased for not having an Olympic medal by another Olympian, because they just know the process and the pain and hard work that goes into even just making a team. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Qualifying for the Olympics is really tough. Extremely hard.
Really, really tough.
And you need to be like, I mean, so many factors have to align. Of my previous episode was about doping and a certain country having some aid in whatever they're doing, and they have all the funds. So if you're like, you have that factor to also, like, there's in fencing, some bouts are kind of basically already rigged before you even step out.
Yeah.
Like, we should have actually even been in the final and we were not allowed to because we fenced the wrong country.
Who was your doping person? Jeez, that's not an invite I want.
It was Connor Fields from BMX.
Oh yeah, I know Connor. Yeah, he was on the Olympic show I did with him. Good guy.
Yeah, it was really cool. So yeah, so I mean, again, getting to the Olympics is already excruciatingly hard and been painful, and so many sacrifices go into that. And getting a medal of, like, I don't even know, like, the small percentage of people that get to have that opportunity. So, and again, you need luck. You need to be having competing against the right people. All the factors that are involved. So. I understand why Olympians aren't making fun of you, and it's people that are, I mean, hell, I get made fun of for having a bronze medal.
I know. So I saw your TikTok.
That's so stupid.
I saw your TikTok. Yeah. Are you still doing TikTok?
Yeah. I started to again.
Oh, you started to again. Okay, cool. Maybe I'll get back on that bandwagon.
They pay you money now. So, you know, with.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I made 150 in February.
Oh, just by going live?
No, by posting videos. You get like not a lot, but you get like 2 cents for every 1,000 views or something.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that only certain people though?
You have to have 100,000 followers.
Oh, okay.
But you're pretty close, no? Or you are?
I had more followers than you, and then I stopped. And then like you weren't even the only person. Like, everybody who had more followers than literally just posted regularly, and they all like surpassed me. I just gave up. It was too hard doing all the videos with Instagram and stuff like that, because the ads really are on Instagram, and I haven't seen like ad campaigns on TikTok yet I've seen it for younger kids, but not for like our generation. Or like middle generation.
What do you mean? We're one of the younger kids.
Yeah, sure. So, but yeah, that's good. I mean, 150 for posting content, that's better than what Instagram pays you, because they pay you nothing for your video views at all. So.
And it helps you grow on all the social media platforms as well. So might as well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Maybe I'll get back on it.
You can start using your dog, who appeared in the doorway before, which was really cute. He like looked in like, oh, mom's busy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He, low-key. I wonder what he's up to. He's probably like tearing up a shoe or so. I'm going to go out. My whole house looks like a tornado.
I had one where I was laughing. I was going to message you, but then I forgot. We had this one pillow that Pongo hated, and he shredded it. And I came home to just fluff everywhere. And it looked like I walked out. I see him looking.
He can't open the door. Come say hi to the people. He's looking at me like, he looks like a little ghost dog. Come here. I got treat. I don't have a treat.
I know, I do that shit all the time. I love that he's just sitting there. I can just see the one eye in his nose.
Come on. There you go. Good boy. Good boy.
Oh, so cute.
Say hi to the people. Say, I am very bad.
So he's a puppy.
Yeah, he's very bad. He tears up everything. But I think we have the same color hair now. My hairstylist gave me literally the same. I was like, I just got my hair dyed a few days ago. I was just like, you gave me my golden doodle hair color. Like, what on earth were you thinking? Like, we are literally the same color. The same,
look at this. His ear and your hair are the same.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah, identical. That's
terrible. I gotta immediately go change this. Immediately. It's like... All right. Well, yeah, he's like, okay, enough. It's time for my walk. But I had fun. Thank you for inviting me on here. Hopefully everybody, I don't know. Hopefully we entertained you.
I think so. You're always entertaining. You're my favorite stories to watch. I always have yours watched first and foremost.
Yeah. Too bad you brought up depressing stuff. Otherwise I've been funny tonight.
You're still funny. Stop it. But yes, thank you so much for joining. All of your social media handles and all that stuff will be linked, as well as the link to your book, right? Because we should be sharing that.
Yes, because the pre-orders get you something special. I think we're going to even throw in like autographs and like maybe some shout outs on Instagram stories. So, and just some daily inspirational stuff. So pre-orders is the key if you want the cool stuff. So,
all right, cool. You guys heard it here first.
Thank you. See ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.